So, believe it or not, we are at the end of the day. Now, I would have wanted to do the Q&A, but of course, interestingly enough, as wonderful things go and live goes, of course, I had to wait till the end of the day to do to have some technical difficulties, which is fine. You know what? We made it through the entire day without technical difficulties. So, if we can't have live QA, I mean, we still can. It's just I don't have the entire cast and crew over here. So I guess you'll just have to settle with me. However, they are in fact on the chat. Bruce is LA Canuck, LA Canuck, if you haven't picked up on that yet, and of course Atlee is Atlee. So what I thought I would do is just maybe pick up on a couple of questions that you guys had on here. First of all, though, before I do that, I have to say you guys have been awesome today. It's been a while since we've had such a chatty crowd, so thank you so much for coming out. Hopefully the content was good, sounded like it was good. And if you haven't done those evals yet, please, please, please do. I can't stress enough how important that is for both the presenters and as well as myself to make sure that we're doing good stuff for you. If you remember, each session had its own eval link, so aka.ms/devc and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then one more for you, which was aka.ms/devcampeval. Looks like Robert thinks that I went home. No, I'm still here. Hi. No, I'm reading you. We're all good. Bruce says I'm still here, so he knows I'm here. So let's go through some of these questions. I loved it. I love the commentary, by the way, about the dog and the fluid balance adjustment, but I don't know that we need to go into that in a little bit more detail. So we talked about Azure. That was awesome. Great to see that you guys are pumped about Azure. I mean, you heard it in Bruce's session. What it can do for your apps as a backend is just phenomenal. And especially when it came to adding it in with mobile services, like there was no code. You know what I mean? So it's like it's simple. And then just as an attach onto the session that Ulner did, where he was talking about sharing the code between Windows Phone, Windows 8. So that was the actual code, obviously, of the app. But think about it from an app experience perspective, right? If let's say on your app, and we were talking about there in the chat about the freezer app, right? And I was suggesting that, hey, you know what? If I can use my Windows device, my Surface device, as the general sort of dashboard view, reporting, so on and so forth. And then I use my Windows Phone as the sort of data input and output as I'm by the freezer. Obviously, I'm not going to necessarily take my entire computer with me. That's stuff that you have to sort of like the app experience moves from one to the other and back and forth. The best way to make that stuff work is either putting it through a Azure or sorry, a web API on Azure websites, or actually just using mobile services. So definitely, definitely look into that. And actually, maybe I'll post a link in here as well because I did a session on Devs Cubed. If you want to do that, you could do dev3.ms/devs with an S cubed. And if you go on the right-hand side to previous sessions, look up this session called App Experiences. Paul LaBerge and I, who's a fellow evangelist, went through actually how you can use the cloud to do that. Anyway, so that's my shtick on that. Let's continue on. What else do we have? Okay, how do app fixes upgrades work in the store? So Atlee is going to give you a little bit more info on that textually, but basically the beauty of it is as you deploy updated apps back into the store, they go through the entire process, make sure that everything is working. Then basically, you get it's called a badge effectively on your live tile for the store that says, hey, you got one or two updates, whatever. When you go into the store, you click on the tile, it'll actually show you have two updates, whatever. Hit that. If your update from your app then shows, user installs it, we're good to go. So it's actually one of those awesome processes and actually one of the key features of the store for you to be able to do that. Think about it. Back in the day, right, when you were distributing apps through a website, right, how are you going to tell people there's a new update? Or maybe you built the functionality into the actual application itself that said, hey, you know what, you check every so often, blah, blah, blah. Now the store does that for you, so you don't have to worry about it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anyway, Atlee's going to go into more detail about it in the text there. What else do we have? Oh, there was a question actually about WordPress on Azure. And Bruce, feel free to put in there. Oh, thank you, B Singleton. Thank you for putting that in there. That's awesome. Save me some time. So basically, the discussion about why would you put a WordPress blog on Azure? To be honest, a personal site, probably not. If you have 500, 600 views per month on your blog, yeah, you know what? It's probably cheaper to go for traditional hosting. You could probably get a site up for $3.50 a month and you're happy. But think about it in terms of, let's say you're a blogger that has tens of thousands of views every day. Or you want to use WordPress as your content management. Well, now that makes sense to put in an Azure website because you actually start off with, the single instance running your WordPress blog. And then as you are watching the traffic coming in, you can throttle that up so that there's more processes on the server taking requests for your blog and then pushing those out. Now, when that goes away, you scale it back down. All the principles that Bruce was talking about, that's what you're doing. Right. So again, mine is on there, obviously, because I talk Azure all day long. If my blog wasn't on there, it'd be kind of silly. Are you going to necessarily put your blog up there? Maybe. Why not? Especially with the 10 free websites that come with Azure websites and the MySQL database that you need, you actually get one of those free ones as well. Granted, for the first year. But you get one of those that you can play around with, a 20 meg database from a partner that we have called ClearDB, and you try it out. Anyway, so long story short, the point about your WordPress blog on Azure websites is that if and when you need to, you can scale it as opposed to putting it on your traditional hosting today and then having to worry about scaling it and moving it in the future. So that's that. Next one. I did a prior dev cam. There seems to be no way to release an app to a fixed set of end users. Wow, for a second I read that as inducers. But anyway, such as employees for a particular business. Okay, true. There are deployment methods where you can hide apps in the marketplace, so on and so forth. I'll let Atlee probably comment on that a little bit more. It is possible. So we'll leave it with that. Marco, thanks everyone for a great presentation. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you liked it. By the way, for all of you guys that Azure was relatively new today, I don't know if you noticed, but you actually get points for trying out various different Windows Azure labs, including a similar one that Bruce did for Azure Mobile Services. So if you haven't played with mobile services yet, there you go. You can do a lab. I believe you get 500 points for your developer movement for just finishing the lab. You send in a screenshot, good to go. So it's a perfect excuse to try it if you need a little bit of a boost to get you over to that next level of awards. What else do we have? What are the pros and cons of different programming languages for Windows 8 in an enterprise environment? So here's the kicker about that one. It ultimately comes down to the skills that you have available from a development group. Now, back in the day, I didn't really ever get or I didn't ever leave it at that because I kind of felt like, well, for an app, you should really go with the language that has the strongest functionality, so on and so forth. But and Atlee covered this a bit in his sessions where he was basically saying, hey, guess what? At the end of the day, the runtime is the same. So regardless of what language you're going back and forth, it's going to run the same. So then you have to take it one level up and say, okay, well, you heard him say some things are available in XAML that aren't in the HTML5 JavaScript version of the apps, right? So does that matter for the app that you're doing? Maybe, maybe not. You make that decision. Once you go past that, it's like, okay, so great. So now what kind of skill set do I have? Are you a web developer already that, HTML5 JavaScript is a no-brainer for you? XAML, you might need to learn a little bit. Okay, so go that route. Or like me, for example, I could do websites. I don't know that I could do excellent apps in HTML5 and JavaScript. So naturally, I would gravitate towards XAML and C Sharp because that's ultimately what I'm comfortable with. So long story short, that's sort of the decision process that I've always gone through when making the selection between them. And of course, naturally, Atlee will put in the chat whether I'm right or wrong. Next up, much better. Okay. Okay. Yes. See, again, Bruce agrees with me. Excellent. Atlee agrees with me. Yes. In theory, I am qualified to be here with you guys. I know what I'm talking about. And what are we? By the way, I love that JR's, what's JR's talking about? Being able to use multiple languages is super. Right. And the point being that as you're going through this, right, the more and more barriers that the platform can break is ultimately where we want to go. And interestingly enough, if you actually want to see how this works out on the Windows Phone side, March 28th, we have the Windows Phone Dev Camp, similar style to this, but digging deep into Windows Phone. Register for that one because we're actually going to spend a whole bunch of time talking about how you can take HTML5 JavaScript web apps that you're used to writing, let's say if you're a web developer, and now run those as apps in Windows Phone 8. Okay, so now before you could do that only in Windows 8, now you can do that in Windows 8, Windows Phone 8. There's actually an awesome project in Visual Studio 2012 that allows you to do just that. And again, one less barrier that you have to work with. So it's good stuff. Yep, totally breaking down barriers for creating a unified user experience. And you know what I love about that too is that finally, and to me, this is one of the differentiating factors of the platform, right? Because at the end of the day, when you're thinking about the different devices, when you're thinking about web apps proper, when you're thinking about Windows Store apps, when you're thinking about Windows Phone apps, right? If at the end of the day, you can have that unified experience across, the only thing that you're doing is benefiting your users, and you're actually going to make your users keep coming back to your application. So that was difficult before, and you guys are awesome developers. You probably have done that and tried to minimize the amount of differences, or as Ulmer put it in his sessions, right, sharing a lot of the code, but then taking advantage of the device itself, whichever one that you're writing to. But ultimately, you want to get it to the point that, forget the developer for a second, for the user, you want that unified experience, right? Why should I have to learn a different way to work with the same app when I'm used to working with it one way? Point being, the platform now allows you to do that, which is actually, you know, to me at least, one of those differentiating features. Okay, next one. Only thing that I'd also want to take in consideration is day two support. In terms of what? Get back to me on that one, B. Singleton. In terms of what kind of long-term support? Put it in there. In terms of the language you select. True, fair enough. Again, bring it down to your dev team, right? If you're going to have that support in there, certainly from a platform perspective, I mean, there's huge investments being put into all of this cross-platform stuff. So that's not going anywhere. So you want to make sure that you have that with your development team at the end of the day. GT, how about portability across different platforms, iOS, Androids, etc.? Would one day I can take what I did for Windows 8? Okay, so interestingly enough, you mentioned PhoneGap and how that goes across platforms. So the way that I think about it is if you're going the HTML5, actually I was just having this conversation with a startup that I'm working with here in Toronto just the other day. And I was saying, if you've already sort of taken that mentality that you want to go cross-platform and you're sort of, you've gone down the HTML5 JavaScript web app route, okay, well, that's half the battle right there. So you've covered the web. Then you bring that into Windows Phone 8 and wrap it as an application. So you've covered that device. Windows 8, okay, so you're going to bring that app in, put it in the WinJS environment, and you can only extend it from there if you want. And then now when you go into the iOS and the Android space, well, again, as long as the device, which most of them can at this point in time, do the HTML5 JavaScript, okay, problem solved. Can you go native apps? Don't know. I'm certainly not an expert in each one of those platforms, but ultimately that's where you want to go. Andre, actually, who's actually one of the developer mentors, by the way, puts in there that Mono is available for major platforms as well. So that's an option. And I love the point there that Atlee gets into, to just remember to include the UI elements and look and feel of each platform. And to me, honestly, as a user, that's the most important because I want it to be native to the device that I'm working on. To be honest, the apps that are ported over from, let's say, iOS, ported over to Windows Phone, the ones that look like iOS, for me, personal opinion, disclaimer, okay, me, not on behalf of Microsoft, I uninstall those. Right? Because they're not sexy and they don't feel right for the platform. And that's actually something that Ulner touched in his sessions. He specifically said, share everything other than the UI, right? Because when you're doing the UI, that's the part that you want native to that platform. That's what's going to be the kicker. That's what's going to get effectively your engaged users to keep coming back to the app. So just keep that in mind. What else? This is great, by the way. I can go on for hours. I promised to get you guys out of here by 5 Eastern, but I can go on for hours. Let me see. What else do we have in here? What about a background app? Does it work somewhat like iOS apps? Okay, so that one, I'm going to leave for Atlee. And he's going to put that in there for you because I'm the cloud guy. No. I can talk Windows Phone. I can't talk that far down. So we'll leave that to that. What else? Actually, you know what? While we're here, let me ask you a question. And obviously, I'm going to tell you, put this in your eval because I need to know. But what do you guys want to know? I guess I'm going to leave it as open-ended as that. As you're thinking about building your developer movement apps, right? And you're thinking about, hey, how can I maximize the points? How do I take advantage of as much time as I have left with the developer movement? Let us know, either through the eval or send an email to developermovement@microsoft.com so that we can actually put more of these together. We have the 5 after this one, but if you need us to do more, we'll do more. The idea being that we want to make sure that you have the content that you need, or certainly we can actually point you to various different resources that are available for what you want to know. But if you don't tell me what you want to know, I can only guess what you want to know. So make sure you do that. And for all of you Azure folks, or if you're interested in going on further with your Azure investigations, in Bruce's section, in his resources, he had 3 virtual workshops that he and I did. Oh my gosh, I don't even remember. It was, I'm going to say, late 2012. So relatively new information. I think the only thing that's changed from that workshop to now is that Access Control Services is no longer called Access Control Services. It's called Windows Azure Active Directory. But other than that, nothing's changed. Check those out. There's 3 of them. Cloud Variations talks about, again, going in deeper and what is the difference between websites, cloud services, and virtual machines. And then the other one, Building Connected Apps, goes even further into mobile services. And then lastly, migrating to Windows Azure. So if you have existing stuff, how do you migrate it? Because you have options, right, in terms of the 3 different ways to do infrastructure in Azure, but the migration is slightly different. So check those out. When you see the video on Channel 9, you'll have the links in there. Or when I stop blabbing, I'll put them in the chat for you. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do that right now. So one is aka.ms/cloud variations. And actually, if you go to that one, we're going to maximize time here. If you go to that one, there's going to be links to the other 2. So I think that's it, unless you guys have more. Oh, there's one more. Other than tiles, what is new in 7.8? Yeah, I'm going to leave that one to Atlee also. just because, well, actually, he already put the link in there, so I don't have to go through it. So I think that's going to be it for today. If I'm looking at the viewer count, I think I've lost a good chunk of you. No, I'm kidding. Actually, most of you guys are actually still there, so that's awesome. Thank you for actually sticking around. I'll leave the chat open for a little bit if you want to continue chatting back and forth between Bruce and Atlee and myself. I'll be on there. But I know a whole bunch of you guys need to catch your rides home or so on and so forth. If you guys on the West Coast, sorry, you still have the rest of the workday left. Kind of started early for you, but hopefully it wasn't too early. And with that, thank you, by the way, for that comment. I love it when people tell me that we rock. And that's actually, by the way, why we do this. So thank you for that. thank you for joining us. We'll see you on Monday, hopefully, for the App Design Camp, where we're actually going to go deeper into some of the things that Atlee touched on in his second session in terms of app design. And we're actually going to finish that one with how to do game design, which we didn't actually even touch on at all today. Till then, thank you very much. We're going to go offline, and it's been a pleasure having you online. Thanks for all the chats. Thanks for everything. See you on Monday.